And we're back. This is episode 2, probably, of the Hofcast. Recording this on Tuesday, March 20th. Gonna try and post it tonight. I can't guarantee that I know what I'm doing yet. But I promise, eventually this will be up. Hopefully tomorrow, the 21st. We'll see. And maybe there will be intro music this time. I said there would be last time, but there wasn't. I have a couple things that I'm tracking, but we'll see. I think getting them out there is the most important thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys are sitting there going, I can't just listen to your voice without warm-up. I need something to happen. I can't just instantly go right into it. You are not mellow enough, or your voice is not... It's not Morgan Freeman enough, so you gotta have some kind of wackadoo. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Guys, St. Patrick's Day was on Saturday. Did you have fun? Did you go out? I was working. I worked in northern Indiana in Amish country at the Michiana Events Center. I was there with Larry the Cable Guy. We had a good show, but it's funny because they just changed the law there. They said this was the first time they'd had beer in that county. It was a dry county until like 2 weeks ago. And so a lot of people came out, but the Amish weren't having it. Although all the Amish people were running the concessions, so I wonder if they run that event center. It was weird because we drove past tons of Amish country. That's like right in the heart of it in Indiana, and drove past just like farmhouse after farmhouse all together. You could tell they were Amish. They did not have electrical going into them, but they did have solar panels. So what the hell is that about? Somebody said they're allowed to have electricity for business, but not in their personal lives. And I'm kind of like, well, what's the difference here? What's, like, are we really, that's splitting hairs to me. You think God says don't have electricity, but then in your business that, oh, that's fine. That's, oh, no, no. God comes out, he's like, you know what, guys, actually, at home, no TV, no internet, no lights, but you're getting killed out there. You're getting killed out there, you guys. Gotta do something, okay? Get an iPad. They had iPads. They had this square. They were swiping, taking credit cards. But yet, at home, can't even have a refrigerator, keep things cold. Get it together, Amish people. Get it together. And the only reason I'm talking trash is because you can't hear this. Unless you're at work. And then you probably are listening to it going, he makes a good point. Jedediah, he knows what he's talking about over there, okay? I understand it is a little bit hypocritical. Maybe. I don't know. Was that a dead-on accent? Not sure. It's weird that they can do it. You know what Amish probably was it was just the first guy that refused to adapt to technology just because he thought it was stupid. Like, I don't know what the first tech was. Is probably a light bulb, and he's probably an ugly dude, and everybody in town's getting light bulbs, and he's like, ah! Now you can see my pockmarks. I gotta do... You know what? My religion is telling me light bulbs aren't good. Let's stay in the dark, everybody. Let's... You come in with me. My family's coming with me. And then he started it. And, you know, his last name was like Yoder or something. And I just found out, actually, that that's an Amish name. I didn't know. But, yeah, he was the first guy... refused to adapt. Either he was ugly or he's like, this is stupid. I'm not paying 2 cents for a light bulb. And then what's next? I got to get electricity? You're going to sign me up? You know what? No. Going off the grid. Going off the grid over here. And he's just the first guy that refused to adapt. And he like roped a bunch of people in with it. And now they've gone this far. They're just continuing down that path. They're just stubborn as hell. Like, nope, we don't need it. We know you got it. Unless it's for business, and then we'll do it. Yeah, our business is none of your business. So get those solar panels over here. They're still staying off the grid. They got solar. They're not connected, but they paid for that. They got something electrical in there. but it's all run by Solo. There, you know what? It's probably a guy that was a murderer. He probably didn't want to be, you know, he didn't want to be tracked by the government, the first conspiracy theorist. And here I am concocting a conspiracy about this first conspiracy theorist. And he's like, no, no, that's how they get you. That's how they get you. They connect the wires to your house and then they've got you. Not going to happen. Guys, tonight I'm drinking scotch. So that's tonight's drink of choice. So when you hear the ice cube clinking, you know it's scotch coming right at you. Here we go. Gotta do this. Gotta do this. So that was fun. And everybody that came out to Shipshawana, that event center is cool. They're gonna have some cool things there. And thank you for coming out. That was a good time. It was a good time. And then and the weekend before that, sorry, this is kind of jumping all over the place here, but weekend before that I was in Spokane, Washington. I forgot to mention that on the podcast last week. That was a blast. I was headlining the Spokane Comedy Club, and they run a great place up there, and it was a blast. Anybody that came out to those shows, I hope you had fun. There was a young lady who was kicked out. She was sitting there with her friend, and they were talking the whole time, and finally I finished a joke, and they weren't laughing because they were talking, and everybody else was laughing. I looked over, and I said, and there you are, you're talking. You guys have a problem with the... And I just done a joke where I made a euphemism out of the term speaking in tongues, and I said, you guys didn't like the joke about the speaking in tongues? And she didn't hear it, so she misinterpreted that I was making fun of that religion, which... If I had a joke about that, I would absolutely 100% make fun of people that speak in tongues. You know, there are goofy things about every religion. That happens to be one of that person's. But anyway, she said, I am a, what is she, who is it that speaks in tongues? Who is it? Damn it. She yelled out. She got offended. She yelled out, I am that. And what is it? Hold on. Sarah, what's the religion where they speak in tongues? What's the Pentecostal? Pentecostal. she stood up and goes, I'm Pentecostal! And she's like, you want to talk some more trash? You want to talk it? Let's go. And she started walking toward the stage, and for a minute I was like, oh no, I'm going to get my ass kicked by a girl. That was lose for me in that situation. Either if she made it to the stage, one of three things was going to happen. One, most likely, I was going to run away. And I guess walking away from that kind of situation is not that big a deal. But had security not stepped in, I would have had to walk away. And if she had run after me, I'd have had to run away. Because I'm not going to get into it with her. Because then you're bringing in... possibility B or possibility C, which B is I punch a girl, which can't help anybody, or possibility C, I try to punch a girl and I get my my lights knocked out, and all of a sudden it's Amish country inside my head. None of those things I wanted to have happen. So luckily, you know what? Great comedy club, Spokane Comedy Club, stepped in with their security and they escorted the young lady out. He said, you can't stand up and threaten the show. And so I felt bad. I felt bad for her because I knew she just didn't understand the joke. She didn't understand. She took a sound bite. But that's, you know what? That's the problem with not listening at a comedy show, is then you're opening yourself up to more possibility of misinterpretation. And then you get pissed off about something that you never had to be pissed off about. I wasn't making fun of her religion. I wasn't making fun of speaking in tongues. It was a euphemism. I could have said anything right there. That just happened to be the one I used. And she didn't understand that. She got mad. She got kicked out. And this was really funny. On her way out, because she was annoying everybody. They were talking the whole show, and people were sick of it. So when she started getting escorted out, the whole place applauded. They were done with her. And and there was a big group sitting in the back right of that place. And one of the gals from that big group said, "Bye, Felicia," as she was walking out. And she lost her mind. She lost her. She went after the girl, and one her boyfriend had to step in between. He was showing me after the show. He had scratch marks on his arms. I don't even know what that's from. "Bye, Felicia." I've seen all the memes, but that's hilarious. So, you know, nobody likes a heckler. Nobody likes somebody talking during the show. You're going to get ousted. So just don't do it. The best thing you can do is just listen during the show, have a good time, and then you can discuss afterwards. And if you get mad about something, which could happen, but at my show, very little should you get mad at. I don't know what you'd be pissed off at. First of all, they're all jokes. Second of all, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Very, very deliberate about that. So I think if you're listening and you're on the same level as what I'm saying, I think if you understand that I'm just up there, you know, with a sense of humor, then you're going to have a good time. And unfortunately, that gal didn't. And I found out after the show, she had a whole bunch of stuff going on in her life. And that, you know what, she was there to have a good time. But just don't talk. Just go have the time you intended. And don't... bye, Felicia. She lost her shit. I wish I'd have known that that's what happened. Because all of a sudden, I just saw like a secondary wave of violence and closer contact back there. But I didn't know what happened. And in that situation, I just wait. I just wait it out. I don't try to continue. I just wait. Go ahead. Get them out of here. That's only the second time anybody's ever been ousted from my show. Third time. Happened once in Oklahoma City. A guy couldn't handle his booze. And then one other time when a person's phone kept going off and I didn't like it, and then they didn't like what I had to say, and that was in Milwaukee. But that comedy club's changed venues now, and they're great. So thank you for everybody that came out to Spokane. I'm sure I'll be back there at some point, so keep going. Oh, 4-year-old's walking in. What's happening, Indy? Do you want to say hi on the podcast? What? You want to talk to me? Okay. Well, so we'll see if this goes anywhere. What's up, bud? Yep. This is what happens when you don't have a proper office space and you're just in a corner. I had the door shut, but what's happening, man? This is Indiana. He's my 4-year-old. What's going on? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You don't know? You just came in here? Uh-huh. You're not enjoying the movie?
Dad, I'm going to talk to you.
Okay, let's talk.
I want you, and I really want you to carry me.
You want me to carry you? This is what parenting is. This is just they come in and they're, "I need you to carry me." So I'm going to pause this. I'll be back. I'm going to carry this guy somewhere. All right, we're back. Sorry about that. Kid came in, didn't know what he wanted, or he did know what he wanted, then he saw that I was talking to myself into a microphone and thought, "Dad has lost his mind. I've got bigger problems than what I thought." So, handled that, and we're going on. I don't know what else is going on in the news. Did you guys see that... President Trump is going to meet with the Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, and seems like it's probably going to be a good thing. But here's the headline they kept going with that I thought was weird. They said, Kim Jong-un is open to getting rid of his nukes. And now you read that, at first you think, oh, that'd be fantastic. You don't want a madman with nukes. But here's the thing. That he could be playing just a game of semantics here, because guess what? On the 4th of July, I was getting rid of a firecracker by lighting it on fire. Maybe that's what he means. Boy, I'd really like to get rid of all my nukes, if you know what I mean. Because you can get rid of something by using it. Yeah, I drink a Coke, I'm getting rid of that Coke. Okay? But that doesn't mean I'm just handing it over. That means it's going down. It's blowing it up. So I'd be a little concerned about him, you know, because that might be the first sane thing he's ever done. So when a person goes that far out of where their normal track lies, you think, wait, what's going on here? And I can just see something getting lost in that. Actually, that's what it would be. It wouldn't be that he was so good at English that he was playing a game of semantics. It would be that the interpreter got it wrong. Whoever was like, oh, guys, he wants, did you hear that? He wants to get rid of all of his nukes. Isn't that fantastic? Whereas in his language, he was like, I would like to use all my nukes. And then I'd have no more, but I'd have no more of you. And that just got lost in the shuffle like a big game of telephone. And by the time it got to the internet, the reporters on the internet, which we all know they're never wrong, that's what it came out with. So be careful here. Be careful what you wish for when you're looking at that one. That'd be pretty funny. But only for like a second, and then your face would melt. And then you'd be like, okay, I get it. That sucks. So, little something happening. I mean, it'd be cool if, but one madman talking to another madman off a ledge, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't trust anything in politics. I trust nobody. That's why I have not voted in the last several elections. And you know what people say? Oh, can't vote, can't complain. Watch me. I just started a podcast where I will complain all the time. I don't trust any of these people. I haven't trusted the last several presidents. Why would I trust this guy? Why would I trust any president of any other country? I trust none of it. You're just trying to take money. You're just trying to take power. I don't believe that even if you go in good, you come out evil. I believe that. Even if you go in with the best intentions, so many people around you are corrupt that they're going to blackmail you. They're going to get the best of you. They're going to wave so much money in front of you that you can't handle it. So that's how that's going down. I don't vote. I don't vote. People get mad at me. My mom gets mad at me. Just, Nick, you need to vote. No, I don't. I don't need to vote, okay? My vote doesn't count. And California does not count. People don't see that. But with the way it is with the... I used to think, okay, so you got the Electoral College, right? And it protects smaller states, and it actually does. For a while there, I thought there's no reason to have that. No person's vote should be greater than the others, and I think there's an argument there. I think one person in a heavily populated area, their vote shouldn't count less than a person in a rural area. But you got to protect their interests, which is really everybody's interest. Like, you're talking about the farmers is what you're talking about. You got to protect farming interests. That's the big thing, because that impacts all of us. But people in the heavily, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, any big city, they don't see that that's in their interest to protect them. But it would be. So I guess the Electoral College helps with that, but it creates it so that your vote here does not count. In any state where the vote is heavy on one side or the other, it doesn't count at all. I would like to see it be based on a percentage of the electoral. Okay, let me clarify. It does not count because, so I could vote Democrat or Republican in Los Angeles, it's not going to matter because the Democrats are going to win. It's like 65% Democrat, 35% Republican in the state of California. So it's not even close. My one vote is not going to swing anything. So it doesn't matter regardless of which side I vote on. Now, growing up in Nebraska, it didn't matter either because it was going to go Republican. Now, Nebraska did something interesting. This is so old here. But a couple elections ago, they changed it so they could actually split their electoral votes, which was at least better, but it's still not clear. I think it should be a percentage of your electorate. So like 65% of the vote would go Democrat and 35% would go Republican. So how many electoral votes does California get? I think it's like, what is it? Like, it's like 50 something, 55. How many electorate votes California? I think it's 55. Yes, 55, with the population of Oh, it doesn't say that's the popular vote there. Anyway, so 55 electoral votes. If 65% of those votes went Democrat, that would make sense to me. That makes sense that you're saying, okay, out of the 55, 65% of those people wanted Democrat, 35% went Republican. So you divide them that way. Does that make sense to everybody else? Is there a reason they shouldn't do that? Because that would be easy. Then it would be like 35.75 electorates would go Democrat, and then the remaining 19.25 would go Republican. That makes the most sense to me, actually representative of what the state said. There's probably something I'm getting wrong there. There's probably something somebody could be like, actually, because of the way the Constitution was set up. But you know what? Those people aren't listening to this podcast. Or maybe they are. And if they are, hit me up. I'd like to be educated so I can quit giving everybody else misinformation. But to me, that makes sense. If you agree with me, let me know too. And I'll continue preaching it. And I'll come up with some jokes about it and do it from the stage. Because I think that makes the most sense, right? And then we don't have, you know, or I guess we have at least everybody getting their vote across. And then I'm interested again. If my vote counts, and I can see that it counts in some degree, even in the most minuscule of fashions, like, that's great. Now I'm invested again. But, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, I was getting in arguments with people. I was seeing trash on social media. People were arguing with each other. And it's just getting worse, you guys. It's getting worse. I mean, you see it terribly now, but it's been that way, you know, at least for the last two elections that I haven't voted on. So, you know, what's that been? 5.5 years? 9.5 years? It's been that bad that long that I was like, you know what? I'm either going to dedicate my life to social change, or I'm going to dedicate my life to jokes. And I went the joke route. And maybe that was a huge mistake. And maybe I can impact some people through funny, but I also don't want to be the guy that's just annoying everyone or annoying half the audience. Even I don't want to annoy 35% of the audience. So I'm not going to do that unless I can get everybody wrapped into it. So somebody should set me straight. Am I wrong about that electoral college? Am I wrong about how that would solve everything? It wouldn't solve everything, but it would at least make me happy. Isn't that the main thing? Isn't that the main thing? As long as I'm happy, that's what everybody wants. They just want themselves to be happy. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it'd be nice if everybody else were happy. But, you know, it all comes back to number one. If you can get yourself going. Guys, this is something that has been bugging me now for the last 3 months since releasing my latest album, is the material burn. The old jokes that are still eking through to my sets today. Here in Los Angeles, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that much because I don't need those old jokes. I'm working on new stuff. But I go out on the road and I got to do 45 minutes to an hour, and all of a sudden I need that old material. But my instinct is to just burn it all. Just burn it all. It's been released. It's on an album. I don't want to do it anymore. And there are a couple on there that were fairly new that I still bring over and consider to be new jokes. They were written within the last few months before I recorded it, and they just happened to go on the album. But I still consider them viable, and I still get a lot of joy out of telling those jokes. And they're still kind of growing. So anything that's still evolving, I feel like I don't have a problem putting it out there. But all those old jokes, my opening joke and my closing joke, I'm so sick of them. I am so sick of them. And as soon as something viable comes in there, I'm like, goodbye. Bye, Felicia. But I should look up and see what that's from. Bye, Felicia. See, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. I just see the memes and I put in my own interpretation of it. I don't know what it is. What is that Bye, Felicia from? You guys are all yelling into your headphones right now. What is Bye, Felicia from? Boom. Other people have Googled this. Let's see. Whoa. It's from 1995. Ice Cube by Felicia. What the? It's from Friday? Who is Felicia in the movie Friday? Doggone it. Wikipedia has a page by Felicia. Oh, it is. It's Ice Cube. What is it? RuPaul. What is this? S. Cube co-wrote "Bye, Felicia." It's a phrase to get out of your face, and it was used in Friday Scene, generally intended as a dismissive kiss-off. Okay. I've seen Friday a couple times. I don't remember that. Bye, Felicia. Okay. Well, at any rate, that's what that's from. I'm gonna start using it some more. I can't believe someone said that girl was so mad. That girl was so mad getting kicked out of there, and then somebody said, "Bye, Felicia." Oh, God, she lost it. She lost it. I'm looking back at my set list from Spokane there, and I would say it was like 60% material from the album and 40% new, which I'm really excited about the new stuff, and it's growing, and it's going to continue to grow. But I wish I could just burn it. But I don't get those kind of spots. I don't get those kind of opportunities. And I've got to take advantage when I'm in a situation to grow the audience and do well in front. And I want people to have a good time. I want every person that, you know what, that was the biggest disappointment to me. And I said it to the feature, Stephen Ty, very funny guy out of Portland. I said it to him after that show when I said, "Man, I feel bad that that girl got kicked out." And he said, "Why? Who cares?" And I want everybody to have fun. And I really do. I really want every single person there to have a good time. And I know she left pissed, which I never want that to be the case. Because that's not good for comedy. Now, granted, she's not good for comedy. So maybe I did the world a favor in terms of live shows. But you know what? She may have had a bad day and she just let alcohol get the best of her or something. I never want that to happen. So I use some of those old jokes. I don't want to call it filler because I used to love those jokes and I put in a lot of hard work for those jokes. But at this point, I'm kind of done with them. I just need them. They're like gasoline. They're getting me from new joke to new joke, and I need them. It's like that. It's like you're learning how to drive. You remember those video games like Cruising the World or Cruising USA where you had to, like an arcade game where you had to get to the checkpoint. It's even back all the way to the old Atari, that pole position. You have 30 seconds to get to the next checkpoint. And that's kind of what those jokes are doing. They're like, I've got new joke, and then 2 minutes of old jokes, and then new joke. And they're just kind of getting me, the checkpoint, getting me to my next thing that I want to do. And so I guess they're a necessary, I don't want to call them evil. I don't have the perfect description of what they do for me, but I am done with those jokes. And so hopefully by August I'm done with them, but it'd be quite a bit to get another 30 minutes by August. Let's be honest, that's not going to happen. 30 minutes in what do I got? I got 5 months to get there. It's middle of March, middle of August. If I can get 30 minutes, can I do that? Guys, what do you think? Let's see, March to April, May, June, July, August. That's 6 months. I could do it. I could do it. By the time I go to Calgary, I could have a new 45, a new 50. Well, no, a new total, but 30 minutes of new added onto the 20, 25 that I already have. I think I could do that. Guys, that's going to be the goal. That's going to be the goal, and I'll keep you posted. Got lots of jokes that are growing, that are adding to the act. All right, that's the goal. By the time I go to Comedy Cave in Calgary on the 21st of August, I will have an independent 45 minutes to an hour from what my album was. Then when I'm selling the album, like, all new jokes, people. Maybe they'll be like, hey, good, because these new jokes weren't there yet. But that'll be the goal. You guys hold me to it. Come out, see a show in between, and you'll get a preview of what the new stuff is. So burning material, that's been a big concern. Big concern. I don't want to do it. This is why bands break up. They don't want to play the hits. They don't want to sit out there and play their greatest hits album. They want to play stuff from the new album. And I know the fans, they say, no, play the hits. But let's be honest, I don't have that many people coming out to shows saying, play me the hits. Comedy is a different beast. even people, I mean, some people want to hear, yeah, oh, you forgot to tell that joke, or I was hoping you'd tell this joke. But you know what? As long as the new stuff holds up, that's what people want. Because jokes aren't like songs in that way. At least most of them. They're not like songs where people are disappointed that they didn't get to hear the one that they knew of you. They're excited about the new stuff. So that's the goal. That's the goal. And you know what? I got a new kid coming in May, and it's a girl, so there'll probably be some new stuff there. Although I'm trying to not just be a dad comic. I'm trying not to just be a married comic. I'm trying to be relatable to everyone. It goes back to that, you know, I want everybody to have fun, not just one group of people. I want everybody. But I did notice this today. So it's kind of like an old, like, when a kid goes to the bathroom, well, any guy goes to the bathroom, and he lifts the toilet seat, and then he's supposed to put it back down for the girls in the house. And I've always known this, and I've always done this, but every single time I've been kind of like, you know what, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And the reason behind it is that women are falling in the toilet. Is that right? Is that why we got to put it down? Because women are doing some kind of crazy, like, ass first, no look game when they're sitting down to go to the bathroom? Like, just look at the I always look at something before I sit on it. You're telling me these women are just, like, just going ass first into the toilet, shocking themselves? Like, who is doing that and then getting so mad that they're just blaming the first guy they see? Like, you son of a bitch, you didn't put the toilet seat down, did you? And then, I'm going to get myself in trouble with the lady listeners doing that voice. But it's a little ridiculous to blame whoever didn't put the toilet seat down because you didn't take the half a second to look before you sat your ass down in toilet water. It's ridiculous. And here's another reason, because I've got a 4-year-old who's potty training, and he lifts it because his mom told him to. And I think he should lift it because he is peeing all over the seat if he doesn't. But I watched him the other day lift the seat, and it didn't get all the way up, and then the seat came crashing down on his penis, which is way less, as unfun as it is to sit in cold toilet water, it's way less fun to have your penis smashed by the seat. So I was kind of like, just leave it up, buddy. We don't need to worry about that. Like, and it makes sense. And mommy can adjust. Is it too much to ask? With all the women's lib, the Me Too movement, like, throw something our way. Not to say that we should still get to harass. I think that's that goes without saying. That stuff is bullshit. But I mean, there's got to be something thrown our way, okay? There's got to be something you can give us. Like, meet us halfway. Can we just leave the toilet seat up? Can you do your due diligence before sitting down? And we're allowed to not. And as a result, we're not going to pee on the seat. We're going to go through less toilet paper wiping up the seat. You're not going to have to ever sit in our pee. I think there should be a little give and take here. And I think the toilet seat is where we start. I think that's where we start. Guys, start a movement, okay? Talk to your lady. Don't yell at her. Don't make it a time when, like, just after you went to the bathroom. Don't make it a personal issue. But just say, hey, I think that there's something we could do better here. I think, unless the women totally outnumber the men in your house, and then you've got an uphill battle. But in my house, we got 3 guys, 1 girl, soon to be another girl, but she's not going to be using the toilet for several years. So I think, you know what? I'm going to discuss it right now. You want to hear something? Here's a little, and maybe you'll learn from my mistakes. Let's see how this goes. Let's see. I'll bring her into this. Hey, Sarah, will you come here real quick? Guys, is this a huge mistake? how quickly? Let's see if she can stand up for the ladies here, or what's going to happen. Okay, quick question. All right. So the toilet seat. Okay, you know how it's kind of standard rule that guys are supposed to put the toilet seat down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why is that?
Because if it's up, a woman will sit down and fall in it.
Yes, that's what I said. Will you shut that door real quick? So we don't hear our children screaming. Okay, so yes, so you don't fall down in it.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever fallen in the toilet?
Yes.
And who did you blame?
One of my brothers.
Yeah. See, but who? Why weren't you looking? You sit down ass first, no look?
Yes.
Does that sound reasonable? Yeah, get a little closer here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That sounds reasonable that we
because
should...
Because we are back... We're backing into something.
Are you backing into something without looking?
It's a blind seating. It's a blind sitting.
Okay. Well, the other day I saw Indy lift it and he didn't get it up all the way and it fell back down on his penis.
Oh.
So, let me ask you this. Do you think it would be fair for you to take us another glance and look and we leave the seat up? We'll pee on the seat less. Does that sound like a fair trade? Can you adjust?
I gotta think about this.
Can you adjust for the betterment of mankind?
I gotta think about this because we go 100% of the time is us backing
down. Oh, that's true.
Down.
That's true. That's a valid point. They whether they're peeing or crapping, it's a sit-down situation where we're only 50%ers. But then you're just adding because 50% of the time we're sitting. So we're going to leave it down naturally then.
That's true.
But then is it required? I guess the question I should be asking myself is, after I take a dump, should I be lifting the seat back up? If I feel so strongly that we should lift the seat, leave the seat up, then I should have to put it back up
well,
after I go.
Well, definitely right now, I go pee.
Hey, you're pregnant. You're, this doesn't really count. That I can't. You can't use that as an argument.
I can right now.
You can right now, but in 2 months, you won't be able to.
I clean the toilet more often than you. So... Me having my hands.
Oh, God,
on
look
it,
what I got myself into.
Oh, for no reason
I regret
at all.
Everything. I regret everything.
I gotta think about this.
I guess the question is, would I be willing to put the seat up after I take a dump? If I feel
if
so
you're
strongly.
To run in front of a group of people and open the door for them, you should be willing to put the toilet seat down for them.
Yeah, but my thing is.
Children.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about like in public places and everything. I think we should be allowed to leave it up without consequences. I won't say that we should always put it up or always leave it up, but I don't think... I guess the thing is women should not blame us for leaving it
I
up.
I think the toilet looks more attractive with the seat down.
That I would agree with, but that's another
like
women's issue. Guys aren't looking at the attractiveness of a toilet.
When you have that seat up, you see all the yuckiness behind the toilet.
Yeah, but there'd be less yuckiness if we left it up.
I doubt it.
I do too.
I don't know how I think you're right. Ends up in the back of the toilet, but there's always a curly hair behind the toilet. What do you do to make that happen?
That's probably the four-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
All right.
That curly hair is not on our kids.
All right. Glad I brought you in here. Shut that door on your way out. Oh, guys. So that's how that went. Brought up several issues. Me not cleaning the toilet. Me leaving... hairs on the toilet. Can't really blame that on the kids. All right. And by the way, I'm not an animal. I clean that stuff up. That was not worth it. But I do think we uncovered some good points, and that if we're going to leave it up, a guy should be inclined to always put it up. So it's not just a once in a while type thing, like even after he goes number two, he should have to put it up. I'm not sure that then we're talking about a good trade, but I'll bet you my four-year-old and his damaged wiener from the other day would prefer it always to be up. I don't think it really hurt him, but I think it scared the hell out of him. All right, lesson learned on that kind of thing, but you know what, that's part of what this is all about. We're going to learn. We're going to grow here. Okay? We're going to figure this out. Okay? Not everybody's perfect. We're learning some things. What did you guys learn? Is there something that you'd like to say about the toilet seat issue? I think a woman that blames a man for falling in the toilet, I don't think that should be allowed anymore. I think if this goes nowhere else, it should go that's on you. That's on you. Okay? You sit ass first into toilet water. I think that's your fault. I don't think you should be allowed to curse anyone else out. The closest man you see, and you're like, you son of a bitch, you didn't. Why is that my go-to? That's my go-to angry. I guess it wouldn't matter if it were a guy or a girl, but it just happened to be a girl these last two times. Have a couple questions coming in on Facebook. I'm gonna leave you anonymous right now, just Not that I think this one needs protecting, but I just think, as a general rule, I'm not going to announce your name unless you want me to. This person said, their question was, how do I convince my teenager that social media is bad for them? Huh. Well, I don't have teenagers. I was a house parent for teenagers for several years, and they were all, one of them wasn't on social media, but I think she eventually got on. So how do you convince your teenager that social media is bad? I've seen, there used to be a commercial that was a gal posted like a picture, like a high school girl posted a picture of herself in a bikini, and all of a sudden it was up on the school's billboard, that picture, and she was embarrassed, so she went to take it down, and like every time she ripped a piece of paper down, a new one formed right under it with that same picture. That was kind of poignant, I thought. You know, like, things, it's important for them to know, even if you can't keep them off social media, it's important for them to know that everything they do is forever. It's like a tattoo. So don't say anything, I suppose, that you wouldn't mind, you know, having on your tombstone, having be repeated about you. I've also seen people who posted something and then they died. Sorry to get morbid, but then they died, and the last thing they wrote was kind of, you know, it was sort of like their tombstone, and it wasn't always great, and so it's something to consider. I always put a deathbed tweet when I'm flying. I always, because my tweets go to my homepage. They show up on nickhoff.com. They go to my Twitter feed. I don't ever want the last thing I say to be some, like, piece of garbage filth of me just being mad or anything like that. So I always try and put out like a positive thing. I call it like my deathbed tweet. And now you guys are all going to do that. You want it to be your last impression on the world in case things go awry. So that's a way I think it's just about talking to them about what's healthy, and make sure you're at least aware of what they're on. There are so many different things. What was the new social media platform? Vero. I signed up for it. I haven't done anything with it, but people were like, Vero's the new one. Got to get on Vero. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't even really do Snapchat. I have Snapchat, but I don't do it. There's too many of them. I'm already on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and I have two Facebook pages. I've got like a public profile and then like a fan page, and that's already too much for me. And I got a website I got to update. I just want to be funny. I think at the very least you need to be involved, and especially when they're living in your house. Once they're out of your house, all bets are off. You know, you can only teach them what you teach them, and then you let them fly. But if they're in your house, you know, you can keep them off social media if you see that they're being irresponsible, and it'd be like anything else, grounding them from their car or something like that. But, you know, just having healthy discussions, and then you get on those platforms and you embarrass the hell out of them. My parents are on Facebook. They talk to me. They post things on my wall. I'm like, hey, guys, let's not do that. But they do it. They're there. So I kind of treat it like I don't want to say anything that they're going to give me shit for. So hopefully if you've instilled, you know, some social responsibility within your kids, I think social media can be positive, and it can also be negative. So it's just really how you teach them to use it. If you just want to blanketly keep them off social media, I don't think you can. They're going to find a way. They're going to get on a computer at school. They're going to use their friend's phone. So many teenagers have their own phone, and they're going to get on it. There are ways to hide it, I'm sure. So I don't know that you can keep them off it. I think the most you can do is just educate them and, you know, be involved. I think that's how you do that. Let's see. How do I get my 4-year-old to ask me what I want to watch while we eat dinner? 4-year-old's a selfish human being, as we all are. We just learn to kind of push that side of ourselves down, at least most of us. So 4-year-old, first of all, do you need to be watching while you eat. I'm not going to push that on you. I want to watch while we eat. My wife won't let me. So maybe you get the other person to be the bad guy. Maybe you get your wife or husband to be the bad guy. And that person asks. And then when you say it, it holds more weight. So you don't need your four-year-old to ask you. You need your spouse, your partner to ask you. You need a confidant, a teammate in the house that can ask. And then you get to do that. We're going to shut this door, bud. Four-year-old's back in the house. Let's see what else we have here. We got a neighbor drained his camper's shit tank on the road. My neighborhood smells disgusting now. Worst part is it's Canada, so it keeps freezing and defrosting. Send help. that's terrible. Why would he empty it on the road? Had to have been an accident. Had to have been an accident. Otherwise, why wouldn't he just empty it? Do you guys have, you have sewers up there, right? If you got sewers up there, I don't see why he should be dumping that on the street and it keeps freezing and here's what you do. Next time it freezes, go get a shovel, scoop it up, or ask him to do it. As gross as that sounds, at least it gets it the hell out of there, and tell him, knock it off. Just say, hey man, you gotta go somewhere else to do that. I can't be stepping out of my house and smelling your feces. I mean, come on. It's a neighbor. It's a neighbor, so you don't want to be a turd about it. You still want to be cordial with this person, but nobody in their right mind would have done that on purpose. So I'll bet you he's going to be apologetic about it. I'm assuming it's a he. I'm assuming no woman just spread her shit right there. But sorry that's happening. Ugh, that's so gross. Yeah, go talk to him and tell him next time it freezes. Hopefully it's frozen right now. And you can just go scoop it up and it's not spread completely all over the place. I'm sorry. That is gnarly. I'll take a look next time I'm up in Canada. I'll see if you guys... you have to have a sewer system. And there's got to be places to dump that. He shouldn't just be dumping his shit tank on the road. Especially in his own neighborhood. My neighbor and now my neighborhood. Why would he do that in his own... It had to have been an accident. Had to have been. I'm calling it right now. Either he's trying to get back at you or it was an accident. Because if he would do that on purpose, he would have done it in somebody else's neighborhood. He would not do it on his own. He could have just opened up the hatch and poured it out while he was driving 15 miles away. I'm calling it. It's an accident. He's going to be apologetic. And next time it freezes, you can scoop that up. I've solved all the problems. Except for my own. this person said, I over-trimmed my ball hair and now I look like Chuck Todd. Can I still find happiness? That's hilarious. Don't believe that's a real problem. I googled Chuck Todd, and it's a pretty funny description of it. Yes, you can still find happiness. Hair grows back. You can do the comb over. You can do the Trump right there. Don't worry about it. You'll be right as rain in no time. All other hairs grow faster than the ones on your head, so you'll be fine. Guys, that is the end of the Hoffcast for right now. Don't be afraid to email me. Find it on my website, nickhoff.com. You can hit me up on all social media. On Facebook and Twitter, I'm just at Nick Hoff. And then on Instagram, I'm Nick Hoff Comedy. Hit me up, you guys. Are you enjoying this podcast? What would you like to hear about? Do you have other questions? Send in more questions, and I will solve your problems. Thanks for listening, you guys. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Google Music Play, all that stuff. Give it a 5-star rating. Give it a review. Tell your friends, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys.